from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day, everybody. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Paul Savage celebrating Hawaiian Shirt Week. I forgot my or Hawaiian Week. I don't know if it's Hawaiian Shirt Day. I'm a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts, Paul. I apologize. Maybe I'll go find one here.
All right. I got a question real quick about Hawaiian shirts. Top button, buttoned.
Absolutely not. No. Not. Let it hang out. You're in Hawaii. And the whole point of the Hawaiian shirt is a party, Paul. Why would you button up that top button?
Well, do you, when you talk to me, do you really want to utter the words, let it all hang out? Do you
let
really?
It all hang out.
Let it all
if
hang
you're,
out.
If you're going to vibe out with a Hawaiian shirt, you cannot be afraid. There's nothing that tells me somebody is not afraid of a good time,
all right.
Like a good all Hawaiian
right.
shirt.
Go. All right.
Get that. Whoa. Here we go. Family program. Let it go, Paul. Let it go. We'll be fine.
Oh, freedom.
There you go. If you're watching the video stream, you can see Paul's Hawaiian. I forgot it was, it's Hawaii week or something like that. I'll have to go find a Hawaiian to celebrate with you, Paul, here during the break.
Well, thank you.
It is. Paul is in for Tommy Kester today. I know Tommy's a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts as well. Jad Chambers is producing. Jad's got the IHOP hotline for you, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So check that out. We are glad to be with you today. Royals fans, hang in there. I know it's another frustrating night. We'll get into that and look ahead to today, the implications of it, any bigger picture issues to take away from it. We'll certainly dig full in. We'll check in on Chiefs camp. We will check in around the NFL. Big news as far as the rookie quarterbacks go yesterday, and troubling news if you're a Viking fan. We'll get into that as well a little bit. Paul's got some questions as we get ready for the college football season as it pertains to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
I do.
We talked about this some yesterday with the AP poll in Kansas and Kansas State and their chances of getting in. So we'll continue that discussion with Paul today. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, joins us as well for his biweekly visit. Sort of a calm before the storm, a little bit for the Shockers. But we'll check in on things over there on campus at Wichita State. All kinds of good stuff to get into today. You can also leave us your video comments wherever it is that you're watching the show. If you are 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. That way you can message us privately. All different things. We want to hear from you always. We appreciate your support of the show. And we will have two giveaways to show that appreciation today as well. A chance to go meet Tim Tebow. It's Friday, and a chance to win some HTO. Happy back to school for those kiddos and those parents sending kids back off to school. Maybe you're just driving to work after the drop-off line for the first time. We hope that it's a fantastic school year. We hope that all the teachers out there are ready for a fantastic school year. Our prayers out to you to be patient with these crazy kids at times. I don't know how teachers do it, but we appreciate it. That means, you know, high schools are back, which means the sports are back, Paul. It's an exciting time of the year. So good luck to all our teachers and administrators, coaches out there. And please understand how much we all appreciate the work that you do.
All right,
Paul, let's get into the Royals.
Okay. Well,
no bueno yesterday. I know. A very tough loss, 13-3, really spiraled out of control on him. Another rough start for Seth Lugo, whose ERAs jumped, a half a run in the last month or so, 7 earned runs in 4 innings. The starters continue to falter a little bit, at least from where they were. The bullpen was terrible last night. Chris Stratton and Will Smith both knocked around. James MacArthur did have a scoreless inning. That's good to see as they try to ease him back in. But all around, Paul, that was not good. If you're a Wind Surge fan, Zebby Matthews, who lit it up here in Wichita for a little bit this year, he was the starter on the other side. He actually did a pretty good job. Maybe the one silver lining if you're a Wind Surge fan. But as far as the Royals goes, that was tough. And now you've lost 2 of 3, and now the doomsday scenario presents itself for a game today, which is being swept and losing 3 games in the standings to the Twins.
Yeah,
a team a team that has dominated them in Minnesota, quite frankly. They get Cole Reagans on the mound to try to stop the bleeding for an afternoon game against a guy who's really struggled for Minnesota. Got to have it, Paul. We get to these a lot. It feels like on Wednesdays when you're on, you got to have it today, though. You cannot take that sweep. If you win the game, now you've taken one of three. Now you've lost a game in the standings to Minnesota in reality, right? You started a half game back. Now you're a game and a half back. No damage done. But man, if you go back 3.5 of them, Boston's now just a game back on your heels. Seattle, 2 games back. Those are likely the other two teams that you'll be battling with. That's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the Royals, who had their 3 aces, you might say, on the mound for this series, and they got to have it. Reagans has got to be great today. They have got to be better in the starting rotation.
Man, I'll tell you what, you have made the juices flow with the Royals for me today, because basically what you just said in about a minute and a half is what we've been talking about in the last 30 to 45 days? I mean, we have literally broken this thing down. Now, I must confess, I've been a little more macro than micro on this thing. I've been looking at the big picture. Yeah. And you want to know something? I look past the Twins. I'm going to confess to you that I look past the Twins. I thought there'd be opportunity. See, I looked at the Twins as opportunity to gain, not to lose. And I don't know why I was so adamant in my thought process that this is what would happen. But when you look at the standings at this point, Jacob, you've got to worry a little bit. You know, that number of games behind the Guardians has grown just a little bit. Not a lot. Not a lot.
6 games.
But listen, we're in the middle of August. I mean, come on. I mean, well, we're past the middle of August. I mean, we're heading into September. We're running down into the last few weeks of this season. It'll be here before you know it. And you can't let these kind of things happen. You can't have these kind of series. So I guess with that being said, I have been certainly distraught watching the Royals this week. They've let a couple of games. I think we could make a case there's been a game or two that they've let go. I mean, no one ever lets them go, but it just so happens that's the way things happen. But, you know, you said it right. We hadn't been talking about the Red Sox very much. We've brought the Red Sox up over the course of the last month. We've brought them up.
Well, you had that series, that direct series, and they sort of managed it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's fine. They're going to be there, though, and so is Seattle/Houston.
That's right.
Like, those are the three teams. One of them, you know, Seattle or Houston, one of them will win the division. Right. But you really have to – it's two other teams. Basically, there will be, you know, probably 4 teams, Minnesota, Kansas City, Seattle/Houston, and Boston competing for two spots is what you'll have.
That's right.
And so the Royals, you know, that's the competition. Again, the Guardians now back at six games out. I think you just sort of set that to the side. You'll play Royals play the Guardians head to head. And so maybe they make up ground in head to head meetings with the Guardians. But honestly, it's more about those wild card spots for me anyway, right now. And the Royals just have to just get right. I'm worried about Paul, bottom line, I'm worried about the rotation.
Okay. We've
been sort of, you know,
I got you
beating around the bush a little bit with how they have not looked as effective post All-Star break. They're all at innings thresholds they've never reached before, all of them. And they do not look as good. They just don't to me. And I don't know what fixes that. I don't know if you let them work through it. I don't know if you force days off with Alec Marsh and go to a six-man rotation. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but the bottom line is for a while now, we're just not seeing the level of starting pitching we saw. Maybe it's short term. I don't want to panic about it by any means, but it is a problem now, I think, for the team to try to figure out how to win games when they don't have maybe the best, you know, three of the best 10 pitchers in the American League in the rotation. They're just not as sharp as they were earlier in the season right now.
Right. Now, you're not talking about Lugo or Riggins or
I am talking about those
three. You could talk about, okay.
They've been struggling by their own standard. They've been struggling.
Okay, by their own standard. Okay. Because, I mean, obviously you've still got, I mean, Seth Lugo's, you know, 13-7. Come on now. I mean, he's
Paul, he was not good last night. Well, he was not good last night. Boy, and if you go and look at his starts, and I'm a Lugo guy, I love that story. I think he's been an awesome addition. He's given up in his last four starts, 6, 1, 4, and 7 runs, right? Like before that, he had given up 4 runs once or twice, it felt like all year. And you go back a little bit, he just has not been as sharp. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean?
I mean,
what do you think it means?
If you look at his starts, you can go and he's had, you know, 4 out of his last 7 starts, let's call it, have not been very good. So I don't know if it means, but mixed in there, Paul, are two games. One was a complete game and one was an 8-inning game, which were fantastic, more like the old Lugo. So it's still in there. I don't know why these duds are coming. The beauty of his season is that the duds never really came earlier in the season. Mm. They weren't happening. And so you get to Singer. Singer gave up. What did Singer give up the other night? It was crazy. He was not good at all. And so it's just they're not as consistently awesome as they were before. Now, Singer, before he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings. He's given up Singer in his last 10 innings, his last two starts, 10 and 2/3 innings, Paul, has given up 18 hits. 18. So I it's just like, and Singer's been less consistent, certainly, than Lugo or even Reagan's. And Reagan's, I don't think, and I'm going to check this right now, hasn't been as afflicted by the total dud starts lately. He is not. But he's also, you know, he's seen his ERA since June 24th jump a quarter run. He was really good against Boston. He saved him in the Boston series. He's got to save him again today in the Minnesota series. Bottom line, he's got to save him again. He has to do it. He has to step up and be that ace, be that stopper, stop the bleeding. If they get a win today, this series, as bad as the first two games were, just not that, you know, not that big a deal, right?
Tolerable?
Like it's like, okay, we're good because you've lost only a game in the standings.
All right. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, if they lose it, that's going to be a problem. But if they win it, but I don't think even if they win it and you're like, okay, sigh of relief, that you should ignore some troubling signs we've seen in the starting rotation.
And when you look at the overall situation with the Royals and as to what they've got coming up, you look at Minnesota. Of course, you know, getting the last game would be tremendous, would be wonderful. That's what they've got to do. But you know, you're the one guy that always tells me, you know, there's still plenty of time. Listen, we still got a month and a half left
season.
So I mean, absolutely, you know, we've seen these up and downs. Now, the one thing, Jacob, that you got to admit and understand is that this little slump has sort of been minimized several times. It's not been the way you see. Everybody's been going through one of these things, and everybody does, and you know that about baseball. So I seem to be a little less concerned than you. I am concerned, though, a win today, how important is that? Because what is that number of games behind, I'll say, let's just use it for a yardstick, the number of games behind Cleveland Guardians. What's that one number? What is that number behind? I say it's probably eight, and then you can probably kind of go done. We'll see where we're at. Right now it's six. Right now it's six.
You play, but they still play them six times.
They still play
three
them six
away,
times.
Three at home.
Good point.
So
good point. Good point.
I just am not terribly concerned about Cleveland because that'll probably have more to do with Cleveland than it will the Royals. Cleveland's going to have to stumble in order to make that happen.
I'm not just necessarily talking about catching Cleveland because I don't think that the Royals will be able to catch Cleveland. I'm talking about playing themselves into a playoff, which they're still out. And they were a lot closer, 10 days ago? So that's where we're at right now is how are the Royals going to do today, obviously, but then those six games, you got a good point on those six games with the Guardians, how big are those? And I'm not saying that the Royals are going to make a run. Obviously the Royals aren't even playing nearly well enough to make a run to win the division. That's not the case. We want them to play well enough to get into the playoffs because, you know, then anything can happen. I mean, for guys' sakes, we're talking about one game in a lot of cases. So there you go. Let's see what happens. I think today is pivotal. There you go.
Pivotal.
Thank you, sir. But that's kind of where the Royals are right now. And so we'll see what happens. I'm still encouraged. I'm still sneaking peeks, although it was a lot harder to sneak peeks when the Olympics were on. So that, you know, my watching time was a little less limited with regards to the Royals. But, you know, we're back into the sweep of things. Let's get going. But the Royals have got to win today. This is, as you said, pretty
important. Yeah, got to have it.
This is pretty important. This is a big win.
So Rick brings up this point, and it's an interesting one. The White Sox are the reason Kansas City is close. Kansas City's not close. Kansas City's in the playoffs if they started today. But they're 53-54 versus all teams other than Chicago. Interesting point, Rick, but I would tell you that the Twins are 12-1 against the White Sox. So they're a whole lot worse without Chicago too, right? Everybody's record is going to be better because of their games against the White Sox. And I haven't looked at what Boston or Seattle has done against the White Sox, but Minnesota's dominant. Everybody's beaten up on the White Sox. So if you take the White Sox away from anybody's schedule, they'll be significantly worse. The Royals have had the benefit of playing them a little more often, but again, you could take 12 wins and one loss away from the Twins record if you took out the White Sox too, and they would be significantly worse. And you'd have about the same situation. Royals would be about 2.5 games back of the Twins, and they'd be right in the mix of the wild card, probably. Because right now, Tampa's a game under 500, and they're very much still in the wild card race. So, yes, the other point to that, and I like that point, Rick, a lot, because, you know, yes, the White Sox have padded the record, but that brings up a point that we've made all season long. If you're going to make the play, like, you have to beat bad teams. You have to beat up on bad teams in baseball. You have to. Teams that make it generally do, right? Because nobody outside of those special teams that go on to win 100-plus games beat up on the good teams. Everybody seems to be around 500 against good teams, and then you have to beat up on bad teams. We've said that forever. It's why the Royals have gone through some of these series this year that have been so frustrating, right? That's what really frustrated us. If you go back, for instance, and look at, like, the Cubs series was annoying, although I wouldn't say they're a bad team by any means, but losing 2 out of 3 in Colorado was annoying if you're a Royals fan. Getting swept by Texas when they had all the injuries, losing 2 of 3 in Oakland back when they had that really rough stretch. Like, those are the things that you look back on as we have to be better against bad teams. And for whatever reason, Kansas City cannot win games lately in Minnesota. I mean, it has been tragically bad in Minnesota for the Royals just this year. They had that four-game set in Minnesota earlier in the year. They lost three of four. You go back, and it's been like, I don't quote me on the number. Ted has been talking about it in his updates throughout the week. But they're like, Paul, they're like 16, 17 over the last few years in Minnesota. They have just really struggled there. They've got to win this game today. They got to continue to beat up on bad teams. To Rick's point, that's a part of it. And they don't have a ton of them left on the schedule. They just don't. Like, their schedule's pretty tough the rest of the way. So they got to be ready to get it done. After this game, they'll get a day off, and then they get six games against teams that are not in the upper echelon, Cincinnati and L.A. So we'll see. You got to have it today. We'll have more on the game today with Cole Reagan specifically a little later in the show. But Royals fans, let us know what you think. The IHOP hotline is open, 869-1240. All this baseball coverage, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. And as we take this break, and since we're talking about baseball, let's get you set up for our first giveaway. So it is a Tim Tebow event that we're highlighting here, but baseball is the theme because there's a celebrity softball game to help benefit Shepherd's Way. You can win a pair of tickets to the all-ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser with Tim Tebow. That'll be August 16th and 17th at the Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Tim Tebow will be joined by local baseball legends, including Gene and Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey, Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, and more. All you have to do to win, here you go. Text the keyword Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. The contest ends today at 11 a.m., so this is your last chance to win. Text the keyword Tim to 20357 for a chance to meet Tebow, get some signed memorabilia, and be a part of a really cool event. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Good luck, everybody, on that cool all-ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser. Last chance to win today. Text the keyword Tim to 20357. Tim Tebow event coming. You can win tickets to it. Good luck. As promised, I joined Paul in the Hawaiian-themed week here. I've got a closet full of great Hawaiians.
Oh, you look good, man. I'm telling you. You look really good.
I gave you a hard time about, kind of letting it all hang out. I just put it on over my other shirt. Please understand that when I'm in a Hawaiian, I'm not wearing an undershirt normally, Paul. I'm letting my four chest hairs just float in the wind with a good Hawaiian. So,
yeah,
but in the spirit of it, I love Hawaii. I'm glad to see them rebuilding. We're big fans of Hawaii here in this home. And as much as my wife would like me to alter this, I am a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts and wear them frequently. Got a good collection building, Paul.
Good. Every man should have one. They're comfortable, aren't they?
Every man should have about six.
Yeah.
Jad, do you have a Hawaiian?
I believe I do. I don't think I've worn it in like 20 years, but I believe I have one.
Jad has a sweatshirt on right now. Here it is. It's going to be 102 degrees today.
It's a little chilly in the studio.
That's probably true. Feels good, if you ask me, but anyway. By the way,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'll go from Hawaiian shirts to sweatshirts. That's, you know, I don't switch around very much. I'll go from one to the other. And a lot of sweatshirts in the winter. A lot of sweatshirts in the winter.
Paul Savage, style aficionado. If you need any advice, you can call up on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Speaking of style advice, Paul, I see you left the sticker on your hat. Yeah. Now, when I first started dating my wife, I think I don't even remember this. I got a hat and, you know, they have the sticker and I started to peel that sticker off. And she was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm taking the sticker off my hat." She's like, "You don't take the sticker off of a hat." What are you talking about? You don't take the sticker off of a hat.
No.
And her mind, you leave those on there for some reason. I'm like, "What are you like?" And I had never heard that before, but I guess there's some style. And I don't know. I see you have a sticker on your hat. Mm-hmm. I can't get those stickers off there fast enough. Why do you have a sticker on
your hat? Well, that's what all the kids do on my football team. I mean, they all got the stickers on their hats. And I thought, I don't even know why. Here's the deal. You know, call me a follower if you would like. But I see all these kids, they got all these stickers on their hats. They don't take them off. And I thought, well, if it's good enough for these kids to leave their sticker on their hat, it's good enough for me. So why? I don't know. You know something? We start football Monday. As you are well aware of, football, well, all sports in high school start on Monday. And I'm going to ask a couple of them. Why do I, and I'll phrase it like this, why do I have my sticker on my hat still? Why do I? And then I'll see what they say. I really don't know. All I know is that's what the cool kids do. And I am, if nothing else, cool.
That's true. I get all my style advice from Paul Savage.
Wait a minute. I might have something that sheds a little light on this.
Oh, do you, Jay? Okay. Go.
Maybe just a little bit. See, I have a Sporting KC hat that I bought when I was up in Kansas City, Children's Mercy Park. I bought a hat, and it still has the sticker on it. I don't wear it very often, but it still has the sticker on it. But I didn't know that was a trend. So I couldn't have done it to try and be cool or for it to be whatever the same trend is with everybody because I had no idea it was a trend. The sticker is on that hat officially because I am lazy and never took it off.
I don't know. I think it's – what's crazy to me is it never even dawned on me to leave the sticker. Like never crossed my mind. Like I get the hat, I take the sticker off. Just like I popped the tag off of something.
Well, are you not around young people, young men who would do? Are you not around these guys very much, or what?
Paul, I would tell you that the young people I'm around, I have very little style in common with, and I'm a little contrarian. If you're a follower in style, which I don't believe for one second, I would be the opposite. I don't know how to explain that.
Right.
I don't know how to explain
that.
Well,
let me tell you how you can figure this out. You have a wonderful operation called HTO. And I could go ask
the kids.
Go ask the kids. You're there all the time. I know you and your wife work hard on this business. It's a wonderful business. We all love what you do and your product you serve. But while you're there, you serve a lot of young people. Because I've been in those stores and I've seen the number of young people that come through. A lot of youngsters buy your products. Ask a couple of them. Just say, you know, just curious, why do you have your sticker on your hat? See what they say. I'm curious myself. I don't know why I do it. All I know is most of the young men on my football team have the sticker on their hat. That's what they do. And sometimes it's underneath the bill, too. Don't forget about that. You know, it's not always on the top like this particular hat, but it's underneath as well. Just ask them. And I may ask a couple of my kids and just see what they say. Because I do not know why I have the sticker on my hat. All I know, that's what the cool kids do.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yesterday, Paul, on the show here, we talked about Kansas and Kansas State as it relates to their ranking in the AP Top 25 mm-hmm. and what that, you know, that look of, you know, sort of five Big 12 teams, all of them sort of 15 or later in both the polls, what it might look like in the college football playoff. We go to our 12 year this year, and you and I were talking before the show. And so the question became yesterday, like, what is the likelihood that the Big 12 can get two teams into this thing? Went back and looked, most years, two losses or fewer would get you in.
Right.
Right. Three, and there have been a couple of years where we're splitting hairs mm-hmm. in the top 12.
Correct.
We've never paid a lot of attention to the top 12, of course, because only two or four teams have been right. in this thing. Mm-hmm. So now that we're looking at that, I went back and looked at it, and I just took since 2021, and it's, you know, usually two losses or fewer. Sometimes there have been occasions where a three-loss team would have been able to get in. I think the challenge for the Big 12 this year is, as you look at it top to bottom, how likely are two teams going to have two or fewer losses? I would say that's pretty unlikely. And so we presented a scenario. Like, the scenario I feel like for the Big 12 would be to have somebody run the table, let's say, or have one loss and then lose in the Big 12 championship game to a team that maybe has three or four losses, guaranteeing the Big 12 champion more or less gets in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's that simple, but you'd have that, and then you'd have that team that had a really good regular season. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be with as good as the league is top to bottom. I feel like it's inevitable that they're going to get punished by the CFP rankings by that, because, you know, it's going to be tough to just run the gauntlet unbeaten in this league this year.
Right. And of course the question comes up, I mean, how many SEC teams will probably get in? And there'll be a minimum of two. We know that, and we'll just have to see. You know, but there's other questions that I have. You know, something. One thing that we've gone this far, and I want to congratulate the committee for making the decision to go to 12 teams. That's certainly better than two and or four, isn't it? And listen, you and I are both old enough to remember the day. Do you remember when AP used to pick the national champion? I mean, there was a day, there was no play. It was bowl games, and then AP picked the champion. And that's crazy. But nowadays, we have a chance to play in. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, 12 is wonderful, but 16 would be so much better. I do have a problem with, at this late date in the season, giving the top four teams in America a week off to heal, to prepare, to rest, to do all the things that would bring back your, you know, a little bit of gusto, a little bit of health, a little bit a chance to heal on certain guys. You know, it seems unfair to me that you take the four best who don't need any help, by the way. They're all good enough that they can play through like everybody else has to do. And you'd go to 12 teams. Why not go to 16 teams? Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, that's too many games. Too many games for who? Everybody's going to play. If you advance, everybody's going
to. So you're saying go to 16 teams or 16 game schedules?
No, 16 teams. Because if you go to an 8-game schedule, then you're only talking about 8 teams in the playoff, and that would be unfair to a lot of teams. But I'm saying if you go to 16, it's basically the champion will play 4 games, if my math is right. Right now, the champions will play 3 games. One, but not everybody's going to play all 4 of those games. I mean, you know, there's teams going to be eliminated. There's only going to be 2 teams that play that 4th game. I think that's doable. I think that's manageable for those teams, particularly if you give them, like, 10 days and you play on a Monday after you're playing on a Saturday or whatever the case might be. I think that's manageable. My question is, what kind of intrinsic value does a week bye at the end of the season do for a football team? A lot of people might say, well, Savage, you know, they can get rusty in that week. Well, that's not the way it'll work, I can tell you that. The way it'll work is they heal up. There, a lot of nicks get healed, a week to prepare, a week to watch film, a week to rest, a team a week to put in some installs, whatever they need to do with regards to who they think they may be facing. It just seems unfair to me, Jacob, and 16 teams makes so much more sense to me. And now it's almost like like the NCAA tournament in a way. It's half. It's a quarter of the NCAA tournament. It's the Sweet 16. I don't have a problem with it. I think that's the way it should be. Where am I going wrong on this line of thought?
I don't mind the idea of 16. I'm also okay with testing the waters with 12 for now, just because 12 is going to be so much better than 4. I think ultimately it probably does go to 16, but I'm okay seeing it with 12. I'm okay with teams getting a bye because most likely they will have earned the bye. So if we just go back to last year, you would have had the bye week creating the problem of Florida State. You remember how Florida State got pinched last mm-hmm. year and how they were punished for an injury, which was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, that was not. And by the way,
they would have had to play the first round. Whereas Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama would have had a bye. So, yeah, I mean, if the same scenario presented itself this year that did last, we will cry foul for Florida State, certainly. At least they have a place in the playoffs. So that would be one thing I would say. You would get to the point where you're not trying to stack up Georgia and Ohio State's one loss to Texas and Alabama's one loss as far as a bye week goes. So yes, I do think generally speaking, getting to 16 will be better. But Paul, we have byes in the NFL. And it's okay. Like, it's fine. I think there has been, rumbling. It's just not going to be terrible to me. Not as egregious as not letting some of these teams in. If you go a little further, because you got to remember in the format. So if you took the top 12 last year, Oklahoma, who was ranked 12, would have missed because you put in the top next best ranked team, like the top non-CFP. And I don't know if Notre Dame counts as that. I don't think that they do. But Liberty would be that team if it's not Notre Dame. So you move them up. So you push everybody else down a spot. So what you would have had is a discussion if you were at 16. Whereas last year, if you were at 12, it was, somebody of the two lost teams, Oregon, Missouri, Penn State, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma would have been squeezed by, I think it would have been Liberty.
Right.
So one of those teams. So you'll have the discussion at 12. You'll feel like somebody got squeezed. If you're an Oklahoma fan, you're upset, right? If you take it down to 16, Paul, guess what? Exact same thing happens. Somebody between LSU, Arizona, Louisville, Notre Dame, Iowa, and NC State, all with three losses, are going to get squeezed, and we would have the exact same discussion. Somebody out of that group or one or two or three teams are going to get screwed. The fan bases will feel like, and Liberty comes in. So I don't think ultimately the number makes all that much of a difference, whether you're at 12 or 16 or whatever, because there's always going to have to be a discussion, just like there is in college basketball when we have bubble teams, right? There's always going to be a discussion of those last handful of teams and stacking resumes that are nothing like one another because they don't play the same teams, right? So we're going to have that issue no matter how many teams they have. You could expand it to 34 and you would have the same issue, Paul.
Right, right. Look at the NCAA basketball tournament. Number 65, 66, and 67.
We have that discussion every year.
The 65, 66, and 67 are all mad as you know what because they didn't get in the tournament, aren't they? And they all
same thing will happen in football. Let's continue this and we can go to it. The bye week is a different part of it, but as far as getting the teams in, we're going to have this problem no matter how you expand it. But I'll tell you why I still think it's just leaps and bounds better than it was when we return.
Good.
Sports Daily, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. You've got your giveaway to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser. That's a keyword Tim. A text to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck there. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour. We got Kevin Saul coming in the second hour as well. It's all coming for you. Sports Daily continues right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Kevin Saul joins us in just a little bit.
Good.
Glad to have Kevin in. It's been about a month since we've talked to Kevin Saul, so we'll get all caught up on everything happening at Wichita State. Paul, we'll continue this discussion. We can take this into the second hour as well. So the 12-team playoff is coming. I love it. I think it's fine. I'm good to see it for a little while. And the reason for me that it is exponentially better than what we've had is because you'll get your conference champions into a playoff, mm-hmm. which is what we've always needed.
Right.
There is no way to solve in a 10-11 game regular season schedule the inherent problem that the teams don't play any of the same opponents, right? So it's a fool's errand, and always has been to me, to try to put resumes up next to each other. It's guessing. No matter what you do, it's guessing. You can guess, you can theorize, you can hypothesize that one conference strength of schedule is significantly better than another. But again, there's not a lot of apples to apples to compare it to.
Right. Now, can I give you the Achilles heel of what I'm proposing? I'm still proposing it. Don't get me wrong.
16. You're still trying to go to 16.
I'd like to go to 16. But here's the Achilles heel, because obviously you're going to have 1 through 16 ranked, and then you're going to seed the thing. The first round is going to 1 versus 16. 2 versus 15, much like the basketball tournament does, and we all understand how that works. Really good teams the first day, really bad teams the second day. Who they play on the first round. And we all understand that, and every once in a while we have that upset. You won't have those kind of upsets in football. You won't have.
I don't think you will either. When Boise State beat Oklahoma?
Well,
that's the easy one to.
That was 25 years ago, for God's sakes. I mean, it was a long, long.
Trust me, I know. Yeah. I know.
But anyway, with that being said, you're going to have some pretty crappy matchups, 1 through 16, and there's not ever going to be any upset. So maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, and maybe it's okay. It'll work out okay. So with that being said, I still think that the 1 through 16, it's the week off that bothers me. It's that one week where somebody has the opportunity to heal up. And listen, just getting off your feet, resting. I mean, nobody's going to go out and knock heads and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be light workouts. It's a chance for a team to really, get focused and watch a lot of film, get a lot of preparation done. So that's my only thing. We're obviously going to always see but every once in a while, you'll have that Appalachian State who beats – Michigan. Wasn't it Michigan they beat when Michigan was number one? I believe that was.
Yeah.
You're going to always, you may have that. You're going to have that every once in a while. And that's the fun part about playing these games. So that's my only reason why I think that's a wonderful thing. But, what we're doing now is so much better than what we were doing with regards to two teams or four teams or however you wanted to set up the playoffs the way they were. I think we all agree that four teams over the course of the last few years has been not satisfying, to the point that we know that there are good teams that are being left out. And number 5 and 6 always had a reason, and they always made a compelling reason, at least as far as I was concerned. And so I guess we're off on the right path, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Listen, I think viewership is – I think they're going to stumble into this thing, and these 3 weeks, because that's what we're looking at, 3 weeks of football – or is it 4 weeks of football? 3 weeks of football. It's going to be like the college basketball tournament. The college basketball tournament is almost a holiday. Listen, I remember Kathy Buss. Remember Kathy Buss, who was longtime fixture at this radio station? She would take the first 2 days. She would actually take off and not come to work the first 2 days of the basketball tournament. That's what she did. She loved it so much, and she that's the way this could end up being.
It's going to change. We will, and I say this all the time. In about 5 years, when the dust settles on all this, no matter where it lands with the expanded playoff, we're going to look back and feel robbed that it took us this long. And I know that there are. Bury that flag in the sand of no, it waters down the regular season. There are people that still don't even want the four teams in, Paul. It just, like, there is nothing wrong with proving it. Most years, I agree. Those best teams, the cream will rise to the top. That's great. It's happening less and less with the transfer portal. And all you got to do is go prove it.
Right.
What if they're already so good, who cares if they go prove it?
Mm-hmm.
It'll make the regular season so much better for everybody else It's not even close. So much better. Across the country, it'll make it better for every team. Because every team now feels like they can get to the postseason.
That's right. I like it.
You know, on August 14th.
Thinking. Yep.
I don't know if it's 12 or 16. We can pick that. We can split those hairs in the second hour. When we return, we should be joined by Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul. It's been a while. So we'll have that conversation for you. We'll also get into the latest from Chiefs camp. We will get into the J.J. McCarthy injury from yesterday. All coming in hour number two. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
I'm going to Wichita. Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily getting underway here. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Paul Savage. It is Kevin Saul. Kevin, it is glad to have you back with us here. It's been a little while as you guys are about to bring students on campus. You ready for this? Summer's almost over here.
We are ready to roll. Appreciate the opportunity to start out hour number two with you guys. Hope you're well. We've got we got a lot going. We've got students actually moved in on campus this past weekend. We've got student athletes coming in. Of course, volleyball's already here. But, next couple of days, we've got new student athlete orientation on Thursday. We do our all student athlete meeting on Friday. So it's game on, guys.
You know, Kevin.
So Paul's,
go ahead.
Paul Sullentrop, Kevin, has an article out I saw today, and I'm just trying to scan it. And it's perfect to what, I mean, his timing is perfect, I think, to what Shocker basketball fans are wondering about. Now, summer two, all the guys have been there a little while. It has felt to me like the vibe, and this is, you know, talking to Paul Mills the couple of times we have you, it seems like the vibe is very optimistic with how this group is looking so far. Is that continuing now as they've had a few weeks to be together working out?
Yeah, I think any preseason is optimistic. Jacob, you know, you pick the sport. When you start to get in season and starting lineups get picked and adversity starts to hit and all of those pieces, that's where you find out where your team, how they like to manage adversity, what the culture looks like and all of those elements. So we are very optimistic. I'd like to think that we operate with optimism every day. And obviously, we'll have a long journey ahead of us, but looks and feels very different. And certainly, our talent level is different. The depth is different. The practices are different. All those pieces are really good. Our staff's excited about it. So, and we got a lot of that going on the women's side as well. If you caught any of the video of our women in the Virgin Islands, you will see a very new look and feel, very athletic. There's some length. We've got 6'6" down low. We've got multiple guards. They like to play fast. They like to press. So we got a lot of things going. We're optimistic about both those programs.
You know, Kevin, you've got the tip-off luncheon scheduled for October 4th. That's a pretty cool deal. And you look at that kind of event, and the fans will be there, and the fans are going to expect improvement. And, of course, with Paul Mills and Terry Nooner, I think you got, you know, guys that really know what they're doing. I really enjoy watching them work. But what is the main goal of the tip-off luncheon? Is that for the players? Is that for the coaches? Is that for the fans? Who's this really targeting?
Paul, it's for everybody. I will tell you, when we engage with Shocker Nation, which is often, and it's really enjoyable, the one theme that continues to shine through, the drum that continues to be beaten, is that we need to get to know our players more. We need to make sure that we endear our players to the Shocker community, because we know we're in a different era now where we've got more transition than normal. That being said, five of our top seven scorers returning on the men's side. And we lost three to the portal, whereas our average American Athletic Conference peer lost eight. So it's relative, but we sit in a better position than our peers. But, Paul, to your point, it's a shotgun approach, if you will, at social media, videos, content, fan appreciation events, engagements, tip-off dinners, community engagement through NIL, community service. There's so many different pathways where we're trying to connect our young people with the community, and this is one of those. So for all those Shocker fans that are out there that want to spend time around our players, not on game day, purchase your tickets to October 4th, the tip-off luncheon that'll start at noon. We'll have it in the multipurpose center. Typically, we'll have 300 or 400 folks there. Let's push 500-600 folks there. And really, really bring in a good crowd. You're going to meet some great young men and women on both our basketball programs. Our coaching staffs, our student athletes, our support staffs will all be there.
Kevin Saul joining us, Wichita State Athletic Director. You talk about big crowds for the luncheon. Big crowds at Koch Arena anytime are one of the most asked about topics we ever get, whether it's TV, radio. People want to know about the crowds at Koch Arena. I see that season tickets are on sale. For basketball. How has that looked? How has the momentum in your world carried through from the fan base? Do you feel that support? Is it gaining momentum? I know it was a big topic of discussion last year, but now that we've made, you guys have, you know, put a lot of systems in place, how is that looking in, we'll call it year number two for basketball?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Jacob, I think it's an important topic of conversation every year because there's tremendous pressure on our basketball program, our season tickets, the say-so donations, because obviously without a football program, there's no revenue on that side. So we've got to do a really good job. I will tell you, and we talked very openly and candidly about it, in the summer of 22, we lost 320 season ticket accounts. We made a change for a number of reasons, and that decline and fall has been arrested. We're in a different place. I can share with you that we have heard feedback from our fans in terms of providing alternative season ticket packages at lower price points or elevated experiences, and we've done both of those things. We've got an upper deck season ticket that is cheaper than any season ticket that we've had around here in the last 10 or 12 years. So that's certainly an option. We introduced, Jacob and Paul, 32 new floor seats in the northwest end zone and the southeast end zone next to our bench, 16 each. And we've currently sold 19 of those 32, and we've got another 8 that are under consideration. So that's 27, which leaves us 5 left to sell. So those are two data points that would tell you we're headed in the right direction. We know that when we get 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 season tickets sold in Koch Arena, that we can do all the things we need to do from an annual operating standpoint. We can build some buildings and do some really nice things, get some upgrades, and then obviously pour into the revenue share piece that's coming, and which is an extension of NIL. It's something that we will be permitted to manage and administrate through the department, so we need those resources. We need those things to help all of our programs get better. So it's a point of attention for us.
You know, Paul, I'm
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, you know, there's something about the portal that I'm still, you know, always still trying to wrap my arms around. And, of course, you made a comment earlier in this interview with regards to, well, you Wichita State is doing as well as anybody in the AAC as far as players transferring out. Why is that? Why? I did not realize that stat. It's a fascinating stat. And I just got to ask, in your opinion, Kevin, why is that? What's going on? What is Wichita State doing right that these others may not be doing as well?
Yeah, Paul, let me extend that. That's an outcome, right, in terms of the transfer portal.
Right.
And the fact that Wichita State is performing better than our peers. Another outcome is, as we've walked through the recruiting and retention process, we have young men in our basketball program that are either staying or have come from another institution that had options. And those options may have included twice, if not three times, the amount of NIL funds at other institutions, and they've chose to come to Wichita
wow.
State or stay at Wichita State. And so that's another outcome. And so I guess that just strengthens your question. And the question is why? And I think you have to, at a very high level, I think you have to understand that they're seeing value in something else other than a dollar. They're seeing, and that could be anything, guys. That my gut, based on my experience and walking this thing every day, they see value in how they're valued within the program, how they're treated as people, how their development is a top priority for us, both on and off the floor, the attention that they're given by their coaching staff, their commitment by our coaching staff to pour their cups out and make those players better every single day. Historical success with the coaching staff, right? We've got guys that have worked with, I think the number somewhere around 48 professional players amongst this staff. And so our guys see that. Guys like Quincy Acey have incredible credibility with a Quincy Ballard in terms of development. And then you have all the other pieces, the facilities, the community, the fan support, all of those things. They're all avenues for value where you as an individual, you could assess value in a program. And so clearly our guys are seeing value in things other than the transfer portal and NIL, which is a positive sign for us.
Yeah, it all leads to on the court. And again, we're so excited to see these teams hit the floor. I am curious, a couple other things. We got, you know, some fall softball announcements. Where are the softball two facilities? How are things coming? Let's just get an update on the two big renovations at softball and then at Cessna. How are those coming along and what can we expect out of both of those as we move into these fall months?
We are nearing 100% construction documents on Wilkins Stadium in terms of the indoor practice facility and the operations building. We will have a groundbreaking ceremony mid-September. It's likely going to be Saturday, September 14th, and we'll get some invites out on that here in the next few days. And then we will break ground I think it's going to be that next week, September 16th, on the indoor practice facility at softball. So we've raised just short of $5 million on our way to, $6 million on our way towards the $6.9 million. And so we've got the indoor practice facility paid for. We've got a portion of the operations building paid for. Our goal is to finish fundraising for the operations building by December 31st of 24, so that when that indoor practice facility is completed in March or April of 25, we can roll right into the team operations building and get that built. So we are literally weeks away from breaking ground on Wilkins. University Stadium will break ground late September, early October. The challenge with that one, guys, has been as we sequence, and we've said from the outset, we are going to prioritize state high school track in the construction schedule and the administration of that facility. And so we've selected late September, early October, which allows us to get that east side done in late April, early May, which gives us enough time, obviously, if we have some weather issues and other elements, that we can have it done before 25 state high school track. And then immediately after 25 state high school track, we will start phase 1B, which is the event level, right? The end zone seating, the track, the turf field in the middle, that event level will start then. The trick with the timing has been pick a date that's late enough this fall that you can get it done, the east side, get it done, phase 1A. And then you're going to have a gap in time between when phase 1A finishes and phase 1B, the event level, starts. Within that gap, you'll have state high school track. You better plan for just a little bit of leeway in your schedule in case you got weather issues or you run into something that you didn't anticipate. But that gap is costly as well. So we have to try to thread the needle and make sure that we pick a precise gap, one that allows us to get done what we need to get done in a financially responsible manner.
Just a real quick follow-up question from the last time you and I talked, and that was probably a month and a half ago. It's been a little bit. But we had a conversation regarding the three women's sports of softball, volleyball, and basketball. You know, and I'm really bullish on turning those sports into revenue producers, not revenue users. Where are we coming along on that? I mean, I know that's a general overall question, but, you know, I will become so excited if we ever get to that point where those sports become revenue producers. And I know I'm setting the bar high, but, you know, you look at UConn. My gosh, they fill that stadium every time the women play. That's what I'd like to see for the Roundhouse. You know, and maybe I'm just, you know, shooting the bull with you too much on this, but you know, I'm really interested in seeing that happen, Kevin.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate you asking that, and I think it's how you define revenue producing, right? We have five sports that we sell tickets to: men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, and volleyball. So in that definition, those five sports are revenue producers, some more than others. Our men's basketball and baseball tends to produce more revenue than the others. If you want to talk about maybe how an AD or a CFO might look at a revenue producer, is what is the level of that revenue as compared to actual expenses within that program? And when you look at it through that lens, there is only one, and that is men's basketball, that truly provides more revenue than it does expenses. And so to give you an example, I'm ballparking here because I don't have those numbers right in front of me. But a women's basketball program or a softball program probably has somewhere around a $2 million expense budget between salaries, benefits, annual operating, scholarships, all those elements. And so you could look at it through the lens of a revenue producer would mean as soon as they start exceeding the expenses that are associated with that program. And so that's obviously the goal. Because at the end of the day, the revenue that's produced by our programs is poured right back into this program in all the things that we've talked about, from people to facilities to services and programming. All those things are critically important. So we're aligned with you, Paul. We want to do that. But I think a byproduct, or really the source of that, is that we've got arenas that are full of great fans, which creates an awesome environment for our young people to compete in. I believe they're more successful when they compete in front of environments like that. So You know, the motivations and the motives and intentions are multiple.
Right. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I know we got to get out of this segment, but the one thing I would be thrilled at seeing in my lifetime would be 10-5 for a volleyball game. 10-5 for a volleyball game. It's doable. It's a great sport. Women's basketball, 10-5. That's kind of what I'm hoping to see at some point. Other schools are doing it. Wichita State can do it too, and I know they can, and I know you're working at that. But, man, wouldn't that be wonderful, Kevin, to see that kind of support for those sports?
Yeah, we'd love to see it. You know, we hosted an NCAA volleyball tournament in 17, and I think we capped out around 7 or 8,000 for that one. So,
oh, yeah.
Great teams, great events with a lot on the line will produce what we're talking about, Paul.
All right, we've got, speaking of volleyball, exhibition game August 24th against Kansas State. And, you know, for folks out there that want to check it out, you go a ways there, a lot of road games for volleyball early. So after the exhibition, the Shocker Volleyball Classic, the next time they're at home isn't until September 19th. So if you want to see the Shockers, you can see them against Kansas State. That'll be on August 24th. Kevin, good luck with the fall. Good luck with getting students on campus. Can't wait to continue these conversations now as we get some games going back again. This is it. Summer's over.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Always appreciate those visits. If you missed anything from that conversation, you can go back and listen always for free on the Odyssey app. You can also just scroll back on these video streams wherever you might be watching and listen to it there as well. All right, we're going to come back. We'll continue our conversations. A rookie quarterback in the NFL. Will we even see him play this year? That is up in the air, and it's probably the one I was the most excited about. We'll get into it as we make our way through Sports Daily.
KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Paul, how's your take on these rookie quarterbacks? You know, we got a lot of preseason action. You saw Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels look pretty good. Bo Nix looked pretty good. Michael Penix looked pretty good. J.J. McCarthy looked good. But now we learn J.J. McCarthy has a torn meniscus. And Paul, not just in the short term, but to some degree with that injury, his season is in jeopardy here.
Right.
His season is in jeopardy.
Right.
So what do we think of all this?
Well, there's two grades to that kind of meniscus tear, and they don't know what that is until he gets looked at probably today, I would imagine.
Well, grades and two recovery options, right? Yeah. Like that, you know, you can either take the short term or the long term.
Right.
And, you know, I think Kevin O'Connell's tone is indicating the long term is on the table, which means he could. Now, he wasn't going to be the starter to start the year. Sam Darnold was. But I'm as optimistic about J.J. McCarthy with those weapons and those options as any of these rookies, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the value based proposition, I think he's going to be good. Man, the Vikings have had a rough offseason. We'll just put it that way.
Well, it's been an interesting week with regards to rookie quarterbacks. And the only reason I bring this up is because it's been a while since we've had a draft with as intensified quality, I guess is the right word, quarterbacks.
Looks good.
I mean, there's some guys that look like they're going to make it. It looks like there's guys with skills. And so with that being said, now we never know, do we? I mean, time will tell, but it looks like there's some guys that are going to be pretty good. I always thought that Williams at Chicago would probably – I have never been quite as sold on him as a lot of people are. Now, I know a lot of people think he's going to be the best thing. He's so-so. I mean, but he's a rookie. It was his first game. I mean, extended with time and that kind of thing. So we all have to take this with a grain of salt. You know, the guy that I thought looked best over the weekend was Jalen Daniels. My goodness. I don't know I do not know how this kid – wasn't taken in front of Williams, if you want to know the truth. I think that he looked natural. He looked good. Now, we're talking about two series. I mean, how much can we gleam for that? But, boy, he put the ball where it needed to be, showed the ability to throw the ball on the outside edge of a fade. Are you kidding me? That takes skill. Not everybody can do that, Jacob, as you know. But with that being said, I thought Jalen Daniels looked the best of all the rookies. May, the guy that I thought might have the most upside of all of them, I was kind of thinking he would be.
He's in by far the worst situation, though.
Yeah,
I mean, we got to be fair to him. His situation is awful.
Right. Well, no, you got a good point. No, you got a good point. He does not have the talent around him that will make him look good. But he didn't play as well as I was hopeful that he would play.
Jaden Daniels threw three passes. And I like Jaden Daniels. And the reason, and it's Jaden, not Jalen. How many times are we going to do that this year with the KU quarterback?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Jaden Daniels. He can run the ball. We know that. That's the part. And he ran that ball in for a touchdown. That's the part of his game. I think when you and I'm a Caleb Williams advocate. I think Caleb Williams is going to be great. I think he is in an incredible position to succeed as a rookie. But Daniels could be great. I think Daniels carries a little more injury risk. J.J. McCarthy looks really good and is a guy in the situation in Minnesota I thought could really have an impact this year. So we'll have to see on that. Penix, I did not watch Penix. I did not go back and look at any of his. I just know it was, people thought it was pretty good. And Bo Nix.
He was good.
Look,
Bo Nix was good.
And he doesn't have a great situation either, but he's also the most experienced out of all these guys. So, I think there's a chance that four or five teams may have found their quarterbacks. And if that sounds crazy, we got to remember, like, this was a class widely considered to be that kind of class. Then we saw all the quarterbacks taken, and so we'll have to see. Earl wants to chime in on the IHOP hotline, which is available, brought to you by IHOP. All you can eat pancakes through September 15th. Let's go to Earl on the line. Hey, Earl, what's up?
Hey, just real quick, being a physician for 30 years and also suffering the terrible triad knee injury, I just wanted to illuminate you for just one moment on that injury.
Okay.
Firstly, you have a lateral and medial meniscus in the knee. In other words, one on the inside, one on the outside, right? So the degree of the tear in the meniscus is what's kind of germane here. If it's a minor tear, a lot of guys clip that off because meniscus is white. It doesn't have a big blood supply. If you think of a chicken bone and you're gnawing on the end of it, that little white deal there, that's the meniscus. So you can see it doesn't have much blood going to it. But here's the thing for an NFL quarterback. If you clip that meniscus, you are guaranteed to have arthritis in your knees as you age. I went through that. There was a Dr. Henning in Wichita who was a fabulous surgeon back in the day. He pioneered sewing the meniscus back together. Now, when you sew it back together, you cannot put pressure on it or it fractures what he sewed, and you're on crutches for 6 months. Excuse me. With that healing that way, though, he has no long-term detriment to the knee. So if you're a young quarterback, if he gets it clipped, he's going to set himself up for problems down the road and in his career as a quarterback. If he goes long-term and thinks long-term health, and I think we all ought to do that, he will have it sewed. And once again, we're not in there. We don't have a scope in there. We don't have him splayed open. But typically, if it can be sewed, that is the route to take. So,
and that's what, Earl, that's what Kevin O'Connell sort of alluded to yesterday, I think, when he said we're going to do what's best for J.J. McCarthy long-term. I think that's why Viking fans and people today are sort of just reserving the fact that they just may not have McCarthy. Now, you said there are two different sides of it, though. Does it matter as far as that goes? Which side, or is it just in general?
In general, you have a lateral, which is on the outside of your knee, and a medial on the inside of your knee, meniscus. But I can say this, because I hurt my knee playing in the ill-fated IFL back in the day. And I still know about 10 of those guys, and we all ended up with knee surgery after playing in that buffoonery league, that I was the only one who got it sewed. And everyone who went for the clipping, as we are now very seasoned into our 60s, they knee replacements and bow leg from arthritis in the knee. So, honestly, this cat is a good good player, and I wouldn't expect him to see him this year unless, again, he takes the short-term approach. Hey, I got to get out there. And many of us athletes are wired that way, but some of us could see the forest for the trees, and down the road was kind of important. And I will just say this. I will take Daniels being better than Williams, Caleb, okay, in the short term and the long term. That's the gut feel, but I will give this caveat. I was the one that wanted the Chiefs to take Deshaun Watson.
Wow, there you go.
So take it with a grain of
it's
salt.
Anything with rookie quarterbacks is grain of salt.
Yeah,
and if
right.
you could you look, if you could guarantee me that a guy who runs as much as Daniels could stay healthy, I would say okay. But the problem for me is running these guys that run a ton, not just because Caleb Williams can move. But he doesn't run it. Look at Anthony Richardson last year. I mean, he looked incredible. Gets hurt. Lamar Jackson has missed significant time. We'll see if Jalen Hurts is able to hold it through. But the guys that carry the ball a lot, actual designed runs, they just get hurt in this league. And I think that's where, you know, with Daniels and Williams, I just think Williams is the safer bet because he's going to have less risk for injury, not running around so much.
But I will say this, that the Caleb, I'm a Sooner fan, so I watched him in Boomerville. I will tell you this, and he's a young man, and young men get more mature as they age. Caleb has not done very well with adversity in his career so far. So that right there, strength of mind, strength of body. This is the yin and the yang of an NFL quarterback. So you guys have a great day. Love your show.
Appreciate that, Earl, and I really do appreciate that insight. That is great insight to the problem now the Vikings face, Paul. And, you know, Dr. Earl gives us good insight on why that is such a big decision. And we see this with meniscus all the time. We hear about the clip. We hear about that. To put it in that perspective, you almost want to see McCarthy go ahead and take the long term and miss this year. For him, mostly, Paul, because the Vikings have never had the direct intention of starting him out of the gates. They're going to start Sam Darnold. For how long has been the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look, if you're J.J. McCarthy, I don't want to get inside the personal decision that he's going to want to make. That's his to make. He can make it however he wants to. If you're the Vikings, though, and you're looking at it, that gets a little more difficult. Because I think the Vikings with a good quarterback are very much an NFC contender.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they still can be with Sam Darnold. I don't know.
I think they can. Yeah.
But certainly the arrow is pointed up with J.J. McCarthy. Does it hurt him long term if he just doesn't play at all this year and starts out of the gate next year?
Right.
Almost like let me hold my example of that for just one second. Versus coming in, let's call it, I think their week is like their bye is week 6 or 7. So let's say he starts week 8 and then goes the rest of the way. How much long term, like if you're looking at it for next year, how much does he lose by not getting that playing time? And I would say this, he's gotten a full off season, a full OTA, most of training camp, got some reps in a game. He would then have next year, full off season, preseason. I don't think it hurts him too much long term. And I think the easiest example of the Vikings and what they should advise is Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying Sam Darnold is Alex Smith. He is not. Far from it. But he's also not, Trevor Siemian. Sam Darnold is somewhere journeyman in between. He's a journeyman because he's got talent. He's going to walk into an offense with a lot of talent around him. If you're the Vikings, I think you just treat this as the way the Chiefs treated Mahomes rookie year. You just say, shut it down, get fully healthy. It's your job next year. We'll get through this year with Darnold. Let's get you right. I think the right play here for the Vikings is to go the long-term recovery. And as Earl mentioned, certainly for J.J. McCarthy long-term, it's a better option.
Right.
But it seems to me like they're going to shut it down for him.
Right. And he will get better, and he will become involved in this ball club because he's going to be there. I mean, he's going to be there the whole year. He's there now, and he's going to be there. He's going to be able to attend meetings. He's going to be involved. He is going to be a part of this team, and that's huge. And it's different with a quarterback than, say, an offensive lineman or a DB or something like that. It's totally different because, you know, we've always said, and I think I've had these discussions. It's been a long, long time. What's the most important position in all of pro sports? And I think we came to the conclusion probably quarterback is probably the most important.
There ain't no probably about it.
Yeah, that's where we're at with that, regarding that. And so he's going to be there. He's going to pick up a lot of things. He will almost be, quote unquote, a veteran when he comes to camp next year. And I'm thinking that, you know, he's got so many years ahead of him. Do it right. Do the safe thing. Get better. Don't come back if unless you really can, or things go, or maybe it's not as bad as we think once they get in there. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll know after the surgery. But, you know, be cautious. You got a whole career ahead of you. And quarterbacks can play a long time. Good quarterbacks, they're going to play. We've got examples of guys playing until they're in their 40s. Now, that's rare, obviously. But, you know, you got guys playing until their early 30s, mid-30s. I mean, you know, so you got those kind of guys. But anyway, it's going to get shut down. He's going to be around. He's going to get better just because he's there. He's in meetings. He's a part of the team.
I agree.
He's a part of the team.
And look, so. Mahomes got physical reps in practice. So it's not, you know, it's not totally fair comparison, but I am so bullish on McCarthy. I want to see him real bad this year, but I also want to see him long-term. We'll see. This is a fascinating decision. My gut says they're going to shut it down.
Right. Well, that'll be okay. No, that'll be fine. And before we get out of this segment, though, I do have to ask you the question. We saw snippets of all these guys. I mean, hardly any of them threw over
the rookies,
10 passes.
Yeah.
All the rookie quarterbacks. Hardly any of them threw over 10 passes. I mean, you just saw basically snippets of a bunch of them. And you've got a bunch of them to choose from, all the way down to Bo Nix, because you got to put him in the mix. You got to put, you know, maybe even what
Penix. You got to put Penix.
Penix in there. What about Spencer? Oh, what's his name out of Oklahoma?
Spencer Rattler.
I mean, he didn't do bad. I'm not a Spencer Rattler fan since that Netflix show where he was in high school. I didn't like him. I didn't think he was a nice guy. I thought he was a horrible best friend. But anyway, I'm not a big friend, but a big fan of him.
You know, he didn't even complete 50% of his passes. But, I don't think he looked particularly good.
But anyway, he scored. He threw a touchdown pass, scored on a run. I mean, it's okay. Whatever. But anyway, of all the quarterbacks that played, because this has been a heck of a class for quarterbacks, who's the one guy that you think can hit it off big? Because now you only got snippets.
Rookie year.
Yeah, I'm talking about for a career. I'm talking about who hangs in there and becomes that guy, becomes that Pro Bowler.
Who do you like out of this group? I like, as far as when I said this. So I think let me put it this way, because I think there's certainly more than one. I think that the Bears found their quarterback. I think that the Commanders found their quarterback, and I really hope that he stays healthy, because they deserve, and the Bears do too. Both those franchises deserve a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Vikings found their quarterback, and I think McCarthy could be the best of the group. I think that the Falcons, I liked Penix. The way they went about it was really curious to me. But I would venture to say, in, let's call it, what's a good amount of time in the NFL? 4 years from now, Penix will be their quarterback.
Okay.
Drake May, I have no idea.
Me neither.
Didn't watch him a ton in college.
Me neither.
Absolute and total unknown to me. I do not know. Bo Nix, I'm the most on the fence about. Is that all of them?
Yeah, that pretty much covers the ones that we're talking about.
That covers the group, right?
Yeah, but
so I do think there is a very real chance, Paul, that they all found quarterbacks that will be their quarterbacks but we thought that sort of going in. Bo Nix has always been Drake May is just a total unknown to me. I you know, you trust people that evaluated that really liked him to some degree. I don't have a pro or con Drake May. I didn't watch him play at all. So I don't know. I'm in on Williams. I'm in on Daniels. I'm in on Penix. I'm not in yet, but willing to be in on Bo Nix. And I have no idea with Drake May.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bo Nix. I'm going to go Daniels. Those are the two that and it's such small snippets.
You don't think Williams is Paul Williams is going to have man?
I'm not there.
The offense that they have inserted him into is light years better than the offense they've run out. DJ Moore's a stud. Keenan Allen is old reliable. Rome Odunze, we all like him out of Washington. He was incredible as a rookie coming in. He'll have an impact. They brought in DeAndre Swift. Like they have surrounded him with talent. He will put up the biggest numbers this year as far as a passer. I don't think there's much question just because of what's around him. You know, is he the kind of playmaker that Daniels is? I don't know. Jaden Daniels is the most intriguing, I'll get for sure.
Right.
But Caleb Williams has the opportunity to just sit back as a passer and cut apart defense.
Need to see how he comes along with his maturity within the pocket.
No question.
That is my question. Okay.
But a part of his game, now you're talking about Williams.
I am.
Part of his game is his ability to move outside the pocket.
It is.
Which
part
has
of his
become
game.
So important in the NFL now, right?
Right.
Like his ability to move around and keep plays alive and do all that kind of stuff is a part of why I think he'll be successful. Mm-hmm. It's the maturity. It's the thing everybody brings up, right? For me too. Does he have that drive to be that dude? We got to see.
We'll see.
You know, it's been troublesome over the years. I'm not, you know, of course it has been, but I just think he's in such a good situation to be successful. And he was insanely successful at two different schools in college. So we'll see. But I like all of them. I'm excited about that. I want every team in the NFL to have a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean that sincerely.
Yes.
I want every single team to have a quality quarterback because it makes our, you know, the game so much better when there is a quality
right.
quarterback out there. You know, I'd rather rank a bunch of good ones than, you know, the alternative. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll look at the Royals game today. We'll look at it from a betting perspective, all kinds of different ways as we get you ready for some afternoon baseball for the Royals, which you'll hear, of course, right here on KFH. We also need to get you some Chiefs audio from Chiefs camp. So a couple more things we've got on the to-do list here on a Wednesday. It's Sports Daily with Albrock and Savage. Don't go away.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Glad to have Crestview's support here of the program. And we would tell you to get out there and check out the 36 holes of golf. Lots of renovations. New splash pad out there. Some of the facilities are getting a little bit of a makeover. So call them. Go check it out. Take a tour. Tell them we sent you. I also want to set up our HTO giveaway here real quick. You can get your hands on a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, and a free coffee drink, iced or hot, featuring free rain coffee at any of the Wichita Metro locations, East or West Wichita or in Derby. All you got to do right now to win those prizes is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Good luck there, everybody. Real quick, Chad, do we have time? Let's get this Mitch Holthus audio from Chiefs camp. From a conversation with Steve and Ted, and it's relevant because it has to do with the Hollywood Brown injury. So if we have that, Jed, let's take that real quick, and then we'll react.
Time frame looks 4 to 6 weeks. Now, we mentioned yesterday no surgery. That's big, or it would have been maybe the season. But if you want to project it, I would say no on Baltimore to open the season on September the 5th, and then a real good chance that he would be out there for Cincinnati. Just keep in mind, we have 10 days to get ready for Cincinnati. We open the entire NFL schedule, being the defending world champions, on Thursday night, September 5th. But then we do not play again until a week from the next Sunday. So that's hopefully will give Hollywood that much extra time to be ready to go.
How did things go at camp yesterday?
Good. A little soggy, but we pushed right through it. And today, I don't know, talking about soggy, it may be moving inside. Because it's raining. It's rained all night, raining pretty good. They were in pads yesterday. the best news was that Justin Reed, who has not been in pads yet, was in pads yesterday at camp, and to get him ready to go for the season. And then also Nick Bolton was back in pads, although they kept him out of the big contact drills, but at least those guys were back, and that puts him on a trajectory to be ready for the Baltimore Ravens on September 5.
There you go. So Hollywood Brown, that's an interesting way, and I hadn't thought about that. The extra time they get after game one, that would make game two make sense. I still think there's an outside chance for Hollywood in game one, but considering that, it probably would make more sense, Paul, just to let him have till week two. But crisis averted. It's just becoming more and more official that it's 4 to 6 weeks, and it's that recovery, and then the injury risk goes up. But all things considered, probably good news on Hollywood Brown.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, anytime you kind of up the time or anything goes to the schedule that gets the kid back onto the field, that's always a good thing. You know, you can't go too soon. This is preseason. Let's face it. There's still a lot of preseason football.
Yeah, I mean, you open against the Ravens. The Chiefs probably feel like the Ravens are one of the teams they'll be battling for home field throughout. It's hard to imagine, and you'd certainly want Hollywood Brown, and I know Hollywood Brown would like to play against his old team and, you know, all that stuff too. Sure. And maybe he is. I still think there's an outside chance that he goes. Mm-hmm. But week two would certainly make a lot of sense with that time off. So that's
two contenders for a Super Bowl championship playing the first week. I mean, that's not bad. That's good stuff. You want to have everybody ready. And preseason is important. It's important to like rookie quarterbacks, but a guy like Hollywood Brown, he's been there, he's done that, he's okay with all this. Although there are connections he needs to make with teammates and that kind of thing, but, you know, everything will be okay. He's a pro. He'll be fine.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right. It's really once he comes back, right, does he stay that all is, right with a broken collarbone?
Well,
we'll see. But it's something we're watching and paying attention to. Hey, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up.
It was good.
I see Paul hitting it hard there this morning.
Yep.
Lots of coffee for this program all around. So, again, you can win some free rain coffee and some HTO iced tea. Just text the keyword
Beautiful.
Tea. To 20357. We're going to come back. We'll get the Royals game previewed in our last quick segment here and tell you about the programming today with the early game. Don't go away.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.